When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I'm sure you've had the experience of going to see a stand-up comic, or maybe just watch them on Netflix or something. You watch a stand-up comic doing a new special, and maybe there's like some bits of their material that you've heard from other specials or other times you saw them. I've been to a couple of live stand-up comic sessions and like have observed when it's like, oh, okay, that's off of this other album that you did, but you're knitting it in with some new material that we've never heard before, or you're knitting it in the middle of some what they call crowd work, where they start interacting with the audience to look for those surprising moments that are delightful and funny and also make the audience feel honored. Now, this is performance we're talking about here, and this is, if you think about it, it's like the comedian goes on the road to small venues and test drives new material, and the stuff that works, they start to refine and hone. And these little bits, as they call them, become sort of like a collection of items in their rucksack that they can pull out and recombobulate in the moment on stage and go in a variety of directions. And the really good ones, even when it's material you've heard before, it's still just as funny or even funnier when you hear it in this new context or in this new way that they deliver it. So obviously, I'm using this as a metaphor for what we do as teaching artists. At least this is an approach that I've been using. And I can't tell you whether or not it has anything to do with my observations of stand-up comics. But I'm pretty sure it was my buddy Rob Stenzinger who pointed out to me when I was talking about my approach to teaching comics courses, is that he was noticing that I have sort of like pre-designed sort of little chunks of teaching that I hang on to and I've developed over the years, and I'm constantly adding new little bits as I test drive new stuff, and, you know, new little bits go in the rucksack. And my classroom experience can be very spontaneous, even though I'm pulling out from time to time very tested, very practiced material. So this is all to say is that I know I've told the story a bunch of times. This is when I made my first lesson plan, and then I showed it to the person I trained under, and I said, here's my 10-week lesson plan. They said, this is great. You know, you're not sticking to it, right? And I said, what? What are you talking about? And that was my first brush with this idea of, well, if I'm really doing my job, I'm showing up and I'm being in the moment, and I'm very rapidly inferring who I'm working with in terms of the students, where they're at in terms of their comprehension and fluency with the material. I don't want to talk down to them, but I don't want to, you know, shoot completely over their heads. I want to coordinate and identify, come up with a map of where they're at, and then bring them to the material at the appropriate level of leveling up that they need to do, which is like, that's a highly complex thing to do. And it can sound like too much to do for something that you're doing just like a sideline part-time gig. Well, go back to my episode of the Thunder Punch Daily where I talked about like how this improves your listening skills, which makes you a better conversationalist, which means that you network more efficiently or effectively. And also just, I mean, it makes you a better friend for the most part. I mean, at least I've noticed that my friendships have been enriched by the fact that I'm a lot better at listening to the people I'm talking with now than how I had been. Anyway, that's all in that other episode. What I'm talking about here is like, it sounds like a lot to do, but the thing that's worth thinking about is if you're just starting out doing this teaching arts thing, yeah, start out with the lesson plan that you think feels like the best fit for you in this moment. Take it to the small clubs and go to do some school visits, do some library workshops. Maybe if you're lucky, get some kind of residency, where you're visiting a school on a regular basis for like 7 weeks or something like that. And test drive the ideas and do some serious reflection after each one. How'd that go? You know, I do have a conversation with myself after every workshop or class, trying to evaluate, okay, like what, is there anything I remember that happened today that made me feel like, okay, that was where it was connecting or that's where I lost him? And then try to figure out where was it? What was it? Was it the way you presented the material? Was it the material itself? Was it the example you used? Was it something to do with the weather? Was the weather just such that the students didn't want to be hanging around in there right now, you know? Was it something where there were a lot of distractions in the building? Was there construction going on? There's a billion factors and you can, you know, spend a lot of time on this, but I try to just do like a quick assessment after each one, going like, okay, what worked, what didn't? And that helps me constantly tweak and refine the different bits that I roll out. So like one that's like really tested in my toolkit and I use it a lot is my little, you know, 5 minute to 20 minute interactive presentation on shape, size, line, and color. We talk about how shapes make us feel things, lines make us feel things, size makes us feel things, and color makes us feel things. And we go through a bunch of different examples and we talk back and forth while I'm drawing on the whiteboard. That is so robust and it covers so much area in comic storytelling that I use that one a lot. But then I have other ones that I just pull out every once in a while, like depending on the moment. If it's an especially rambunctious group, I've got one where I have kids get up in front of the classroom and they act out a scene and the rest of the students yell freeze when they spot a moment that looks especially good. Like it's an especially like interesting image to capture. And then the kids hold their pose and the kids all draw. I've maybe used that one like 6 times in my 13 years as a teaching artist, but you get the idea is that I personally like to have a highly improvisational experience in my classroom, both to keep it interesting for myself and for the students, because if you wind up doing this effectively, you're going to wind up having students who follow you and will take your workshops year after year, your classes year after year. I have had students grow up with my classes and then go on to become, you know, professional colorists and inkers. So, you know, to honor them, I don't want to just keep rolling out the same material. And if I'm going to roll out the same material, I'm going to change it up and find ways to tweak it so that I'm both keeping it interesting for me, for the students to take my classes over and over again, and keep it surprising for the new students all the time. And you can do improvisational work from a collection of pre-designed little bits. And those bits are created through experimentation of going out and doing the road work of being in the, you know, the workshops, the classrooms, testing out ideas, reflecting on what happened there and refining based on, you know, where the little teaching bits meet the audience. So if that makes sense, I think that makes sense. I think that's clear. But guess what? I've got the rest of the month to keep on digging at these ideas and see if I can clarify this any further. And this is where you could let me know if there's anything you're curious about during the month of November. Why during the month of November 2020? Because it's Art Sound Off. ArtSoundOff.com, where me and my buddy Rob Stensinger challenge ourselves and by extension everybody else to check in over the month of November with an audio journal about your art. I personally have chosen the theme of Teaching Artist Edition, where I'm just kind of doing mini essays on ways I think about this job and this vocation and this calling, and ways that my work as an artist has been improved through teaching my art. Which reminds me that I should get back to talking a little bit about the ways that I've benefited from this as an artist. So maybe I'll do that tomorrow, which is to say that I'll be back then with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember everybody.
Today we met Nepthu, a man who wanted to become a leader and became one. But Nepthu used his leadership for his own selfish glory, and in the end he got what he deserved. Being a good leader takes a lot of responsibility, but you must also be responsible when you follow a leader. Don't do something wrong or dangerous because someone tells you to. Think before you act. We can't all be leaders, but we can all choose what's right and wrong for ourselves.